Wow. You want some breaking news? You got it. The Pittsburgh Steelers add Brian Flores, former Miami Dolphins head coach, who is now suing the National Football League, claiming systemic racism, after being surprisingly fired despite success based on his situation in Miami. Nonetheless, he's currently looking for a job, and his search is over as the Pittsburgh Steelers bring him in as a defensive assistant. He joins Mike Tomlin's staff. Obviously, that means he is not currently going to be a head coach in the National Football League, which is what he just was, feels he still deserves to be. I feel he still deserves to be, and likely will be again in the NFL if this goes well. Well, give or take the lawsuit, is if he didn't get back in the NFL and had to sit out the whole year, certainly could have been a situation where that would have been harder. Mike Tomlin has the confidence. The Steelers have the confidence. They have an African-American head coach, a future Hall of Fame African-American head coach in Mike Tomlin, and they now bring Brian Flores along. I'm Mike Oskey, of course, and this is a Steelers live chat. This is an impromptu breaking news edition. Haven't done one of these in a while, actually. We've done a lot of shows, of course, many of them Steelers related, but this is a legit Steelers live chat, so it is me to you. I'm going to be talking about this. I'm going to be reacting to this. We're not far from the news, so this is still instant reaction as we're learning many of the details. We do have the story, of course, on Steelers Now. We do have tweets from myself and Alan Saunders, of course, and many others. We do have a lot of reaction that's going to also appear in Steelers Now here and maybe other shows about this here on Pittsburgh Sports Live. But I wanted to touch on this, see what you guys were saying, and see if we could stir up a conversation here on what was a slow news day here, a slow Saturday in the Pittsburgh sports market. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, they make their presence felt despite being the offseason. Again, if you're just tuning in, they add Brian Flores to the staff, the former Miami Dolphins head coach, back-to-back winning season. The first time in a long time anyone did that with the Dolphins. Prior to that, they were 5-11, but he had to build up to where he was the last couple of years. So again, back-to-back winning seasons with Miami, fell out of favor with ownership, issues there with executives, fired, not off the body of work, of course, off success on the field. No, they weren't going on any playoff runs, but he certainly wasn't handed a great roster. Two has been up and down, the whole Fitzpatrick drama that was there for a while, and still back-to-back winning seasons, but gone from that position. We know what he was then saying after being fired, claiming systemic racism, claiming that African-Americans don't get as long of an opportunity, don't get a rope like many others would, like a white head coach would, that if he has success and is let go, a white coach would have been given a longer period of time, for example, that he goes on sham interviews. He's been on sham interviews that African-Americans off the Rooney Rule that was, of course, created by the Rooney family, the ownership of the Pittsburgh Steelers Now by R. Rooney II, does some nice things, but also allows teams to basically just fulfill the requirement out of nowhere, that they can basically just say, okay, we're going to do this interview, even though we already know who we're going to hire. He accused John Elway a couple years ago before taking the Dolphins job of not having showered, feeling like he was drunk, completely disheveled, and just basically doing a sham interview when he already had a decision made. John Elway, of course, disputes that, claims they had a period of time to do the interview. He didn't have time to really, I guess, look more presentable. It was an NFL rule that he had to do it in that period of time. He also was fulfilling when Brian Flores was available, and he squeezed it into his schedule. He felt like he gave him the same as he would everybody else, despite all of that. Then we see the text messages that are maybe even more damning in a way with Bill Belichick, his former boss with New England. Because remember, Brian Flores, if you're just learning him as a fired Miami Dolphins head coach, who's now suing the NFL and now with the Steelers. Prior to that, he was with the New England Patriots as an assistant for about a decade, was on four championship teams during his time, including a promotion on their last one, their win over the Rams. So he was much more involved for that one than the others, but worked his way up there with the Patriots and Bill Belichick. So he certainly knows Bill well. They were texting back and forth. Bill thought it was another Brian that he was speaking to. Should have had a last name there on his phone there. Thought it was Brian Daboo, who certainly is a qualified guy as well, but many feel like legitimately could have got that job, saying basically you're locked in. Brian Flores says, I haven't interviewed yet, Bill. And that looks really, really bad. But of course, the Giants can say that Bill Belichick hasn't been with them as an employee in any capacity for well over 2 decades to 3 decades. So yeah, he was on a staff with Bill Parcells that won championships and certainly knows the NFL and is tapped in, but he doesn't really know who we're going to hire. So it's hard to believe that Brian Flores would win this lawsuit. It'd be very hard to prove any of this, even though I do believe there's systemic racism as well as in the world and as well as in other companies and fields. But you can't force a team to hire someone. But the Steelers didn't need force. They make the decision and hire Brian Flores to the staff. I do see we have some chat action here. Steelers Nation, Steelers Y360 Nation telling me this is a good look for the Steelers. Yeah, it's not a bad look at all. Number one, and this fills many requirements, and I do want some more chat action if I can here. They get some stability. They get a veteran, strong defensive mind to the staff. Honestly, he could be the defensive coordinator easily. You know, that goes to Austin. He already was there, but not there that long. And that was the guy that always seemed to scream to make sense for the Steelers. They were always going to hire him, it appeared, even though others wanted to bring up other names. And I know Steelers fans want that outside hire. This does fulfill that. This is a completely outside hire. There's no other Pittsburgh connection here. He was with a rival a long time, then with the Dolphins the last couple of years from Brooklyn. The man's not a Pittsburgh guy, but he's just a great coach. So they bring him in. They bring an outside hire in. Fans got to like that. He could easily be the defensive coordinator. He could easily be involved in play calling. But granted, that's still going to be Tomlin, of course. He's been involved. So this might make him very involved, or who knows if they're what they're going to use him as in terms of how involved he'll be. We learn more of that as we go. But having Brian Flores as a veteran coach, a strong defensive mind, a guy that is outside the franchise, all positives. And also, it's a great PR look because the Steelers having an African-American head coach, a championship-level African-American head coach who is going to the Hall of Fame someday, even though fans don't really want to hear that all the time about Tomlin. And yeah, he has his issues, but he's going to Canton someday. And then you bring in Brian Flores. Wow, he's suing the NFL, and after everything he's alleged and what we kind of know, that's a great look for the Steelers as well, really. They have the security in themselves to say, we don't give a damn, and we're going to do this. We do see more Steelers chat action here. Okay, this might be something. Sick of the notion of the Steelers don't make outside hires, that don't make trade, don't sign free agents. This isn't your grandfather's Steelers. I actually like that you said that, to be honest with you, because that is a false narrative. I don't disagree with what you're saying there. Number one, I'm just alluding to the fact that this is great. The Steelers bring in an outside guy because fans can't complain about how it's always inside guys, always promotions, always hired from within. And this is an outside guy with no connection, so it's great. However, you're not wrong. The Steelers have, throughout the history, brought a lot of outside guys in. If they then promote them later, they're from the outside initially. So is that an outside hire or a promoted hire, of course? And yes, they sometimes just bring you in outside altogether. I mean, Todd Haley was brought in outside altogether. There might be some type of connection there, but it's not like he was from the Steelers and then promoted it when he came in. And I know fans don't like him, but when he came in as a coordinator, already had a history of success in the NFL and of coaching. Mike Tomlin, who I just brought up, wasn't a Steelers-connected guy. His connection to the region here was Bill Stewart, the former West Virginia Mountaineers head coach, and their connection there, and William and Mary and all of that. But in terms of his coaching tree and success, Mike Tomlin was more recently, prior to the Steelers, under Tony Dungy and then under John Gruden on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as an assistant defensive coach, mostly under Dungy. And then, of course, that year under John Gruden when they won a Super Bowl. So Mike Tomlin had won a Super Bowl as an assistant and was in that Tampa Bay Buccaneer staff and coaching tree from Dungy to Gruden, et cetera. So, which is, I guess, odd now, an African-American Hall of Famer coming from Gruden in a way off of what we later knew about Gruden, and that's how he was exited from the league. But on Gruden's staff when they won the Super Bowl after the 2002 season, and prior to that, came up under Tony Dungy, who, yes, does have a Steelers connection, but Mike Tomlin didn't. So that's an outside hire right there. Now, Bill Cowher was certainly a Pittsburgh hire, but not a Steelers hire. He's a Crafton boy. Crafton boy lived a dream, but wasn't from the Steelers. Came up under Marty Schottenheimer, for example, and then got the head coach spot with the Steelers. Both of them at the time were assistants who didn't have accomplished NFL head coaching resumes, and they got a marquee job. And again, the Steelers don't fire coaches and have all the success, three Hall of Fame coaches in these many years. So with the Rooney family. So that's all outside. Yeah. And in terms of making trades, I don't think it's a common thing they do, but it's more common recently. And you certainly can point to Minka Fitzpatrick, who this could really be also an impact with Brian Flores. How much will he now get more out of Minka? Minka obviously coming from Miami, there's familiarity there. Great for the Steelers a couple years ago, all the turnovers. Last year, a little bit less, but of course, defenses are more keying in on him, and the same as the year before. So that could be something to keep an eye on, and what this does for Minka, what this does for Devin Bush, who again was the team trading up in the draft to go get their guy. I don't believe they're going to do that with Pickett, but hey, that's the reason why maybe they would, because they already did it a couple of years ago. But again, I highly doubt they do it with a quarterback, and you have to give up a lot more. But yeah, Minka was a trade. They gave up what was their position of need, and ended up basically being the de facto first-round pick. Certainly worked out. I liked it at the time. Not many did, but that was a risky trade that worked out in kind of a win-now mode. Of course, making a trade with the Jaguars just a year ago, less than a year ago, before last season, maybe early, but they brought in Schobert, linebacker, to try to bolster things. The Steelers make trades, of course, and yeah, they've hired coaches outside. So I do actually agree with that. It is a bit of a false narrative that it's always promoted within, that they never go get guys, and it's always inside hires. There have been outside head coaching hires. There have been plenty of them. They're not always inside hires. Yes, they do promote. Yes, they sometimes go cheap. Yes, that's Steelers' way. I get all of that. But it is a little bit of a false narrative that's being overblown. You are correct. And yeah, they've made moves. They've made trades. I wouldn't say they're splashing free agency-wise all the time, but you know, Joe Hayden was brought in, who at the time had a long career as a perennial Pro Bowler. They do. Yeah, it's a little bit of a false narrative. You're not wrong. New infusion, original thoughts will give the Steelers some wrinkles. They may catch division foes off guard. Thomas Russell talking about Brian Flores coming over to the Steelers and what that can actually impact on the field. And again, you're not wrong. Absolutely. Not only do you again bring in a veteran head coach who's already been a head coach, who was an assistant for a very long time prior to that, has been around the block and has had success, back-to-back winning seasons again with the Dolphins, so wasn't fired for what he did on the field based on that resume and his body of work, certainly proud of that when New England earned him an opportunity. But he is not a Steelers guy. It is going to be a different system. They're still going to have Matt Canada there offensively. Heath Butler no longer there defensively. You have Austin, it's a similar system. Tomlin's calling the plays. That'll all be kind of similar, and there'll be some continuity there system-wise, regardless of what the roster shows, and obviously questions remain as we're speaking at quarterback and different positions like receiver with Juju, etc. But yeah, that's not bad at all. This team, again, they didn't get in the playoffs. They didn't go anywhere the year before. Didn't go anywhere, losing right away to the Browns. The year before that, they're missing even with Ben Hurt. So it's not like it's a team that everything should just stay status quo and it's all fine. Again, people cling to this, and it's true. Three playoff wins in the last decade. They got as many playoff wins in the last decade as the Bengals do. And the Bengals did it in a month. So I get it, absolutely, that's good. So that's a new infusion. And Tomlin's not going to bring Brian Flores in to never hear from the man. I'm sure that this is a guy who's been a head coach that won in the NFL, that's been a part of a winning staff with the Patriots, that knows how Bill Belichick did it. This is all going to help them on the field. He's going to be in some of those meetings, of course. And I am sure that Mike Tomlin doesn't do this if he is not willing to hear what Brian Flores has to say, take his input. Now, Mike Tomlin is obviously a guy that is going to do it his way or the highway in some respects, as any head coach would in his position. If you're going to go down, you want to go down because of you. He's won a championship. He's been in another one. It's been a long time. I totally get it. But he's still been a successful head coach, no losing seasons. He's not just going to give Brian Flores the keys to the Cadillac here. But again, Mike Tomlin certainly, I would imagine, is going to hear from Brian Flores. And there's going to be some that maybe want Brian Flores to take over for them as this season progresses here. So yes, Thomas Russell, you are correct on that. Again, this is an impromptu Steelers chat. We'll see how long we go based on what chat action we have here. I'm going to give some of my reactionary thoughts as well. Already done so feel free to flip back and hear all of those if you just now are tuning in, but the Steelers do add Brian Flores to the staff. That's breaking news for the day. That's wild news for the day. That's, I don't know if it's surprising because knowing the Steelers, Tomlin, and the Rooney family, and that he was dangling out there, and it can't be a negative coaching-wise. If you don't feel like you're going to get a head coach spot, there's not many better situations in terms of staffs that you can learn from. And in terms of comfortability with an ownership and a coach you know are going to be there and will trust in you and won't worry about the lawsuit and have that confidence in themselves to not worry about the lawsuit, then the Steelers. And he's already done the Patriot thing. So, and that would be awkward, this obviously with Bill. So I get it. So that's a great move for Brian Flores. Now, if you can't be head coach, it's a great move. That brings up a conversation. Is this 100% positive for Brian Flores, or is there a little negative tinge to this? Because this obviously means he wasn't getting a head coaching opportunity or didn't get one that at least he loved. We have seen African-Americans, while they're getting less opportunities, we know about sham interviews, and certainly the Rooney ruling requires you to interview somebody, doesn't require you to hire somebody, doesn't guarantee they get hired. When they're all, in terms of teams, when it's an ownership group that's all white, except for, yeah, there's some minority owners there, and Jacksonville's one of them that I'll bring up in a second with Khan. Not African-American, but a minority. You might have some systemic racism, and he does believe it, and, you know, they got a body of work here, that it's hard to believe that Brian Flores earned a firing in Miami. And when you read between the lines there, you can't deny that there is systemic racism that does go on. But again, you can't prove it. It's really hard to prove it. It's not like Donald Sterling type of stuff. We got a tape about an N-word anywhere. This isn't Gruden's type of stuff. And you can't force someone to hire someone. You just cannot. You cannot force a billionaire to say you must hire a minority. It's their team. They're the ones paying. But this means he couldn't be a head coach, or he wasn't liking his opportunity. We did see, well, get to with the Jaguars, what I was going to mean to get to with the Jaguars. We did see former Steeler Byron Leftwich, former Jacksonville quarterback Brian Leftwich as well, when he was a starter and a Pro Bowler, basically kind of turned down the Jag job. I'm not saying it was offered, but right before it was offered to Doug Peterson, who, a white head coach, he probably shouldn't have been fired either, from Philly. The man won them their only franchise Super Bowl championship, and a couple years later, gone because of a QB decision. You got to give him more time. He was still giving you respectable records there. And again, the championship that he built up to, that it hadn't happened before, despite success with Andy Reid, and there was a lull there in between. So did Doug Peterson deserve to be fired by the Eagles? No. Does he deserve to be a head coach in the NFL? 100%, for sure. And he got the Jags job. Trevor Lawrence, a great hire by Jacksonville. But before they made that decision, the day before, we heard about Byron Leftwich basically saying, no, I'm going to pull my name out of this. I don't like it. He doesn't like the situation down there, doesn't like an executive down there, doesn't like that situation. So he doesn't want it. And partly because he knows that, like off the Brian Flores example, that if he goes somewhere, he doesn't like the situation. They're not fully bought into him. There's not continuity there. There's chaos there. He doesn't trust in who's there working with him. They're not in lockstep. And they don't win right away, and it's still going to be a team that's going to take a while to win right away. They need a lot of help there with Jacksonville. It's not going to be a championship team next year. No way. How much rope will he get? He'll get that job. It'll be a head coaching opportunity for him. He'll lose. He won't even have the record Brian Flores had with Miami. And then will he get a second one? Based on body of work, based on history, based on what we know, less likely potentially than a white head coach, or at least how he feels. And many head coaches, it takes that second job to really have success. Bill Belichick, the mentor, the former boss of Brian Flores, is that perfect example with the Browns. They weren't great. Then he built them up, got them into for the playoffs. They leave town. It took him the second job with the Patriots before he became the greatest coach of all time and did what he did and won 6 rings. So usually it's the second job. Many times it is that second job. And do you get a second job if you're a minority? And that's what Byron Leftwich was concerned about, for sure. More chat action I do see now. Hope Steelers draft O-line and D-line and then draft a QB next year. How Rudolph, throw Rudolph out to the Wolves in 2022. I don't want to make this a freaking Mason Rudolph show, as we somehow always get here to this conversation that everyone claims they don't want to have, but just brings up ad nauseum whenever I do a show anywhere on Twitter or wherever else. Yeah, no one say Mason Rudolph is going to be a franchise guy or in love with the man. He very well likely might be a bridge quarterback, depending on how the draft goes, depending on who they can bring in. Again, I've been now vocal recently, kind of pivoting. I didn't want him 2 years ago, but now I'd be okay with Jameis Winston. You're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to get Russell Wilson, despite we got an odds post up on Steelers now. It's not going to happen. I'll bet anybody, including my colleagues, that that's not going to happen. Steelers are not bringing in Aaron Rodgers. They're not bringing in Russell Wilson. They're not bringing in Kyler Murray, despite his issues now with the Cardinals. That splash move is not happening. But a veteran QB that might be cheaper, that still wants an opportunity, that's not going into the Hall of Fame right away, like a Jameis Winston, that could happen. Like a Teddy Bridgewater, that could happen. Like a Tyrod Taylor, that could happen. But Jameis Winston, a couple of years ago, all the interceptions in the world, it took away from the yards for me and TDs, and he was too turnover prone for me to want him as a backup, certainly when Ben was still there, but let alone more. But a high ceiling, a former first rounder, Heisman pick, last year calmed down the interceptions and then some. If he can play that careful football with his high ceiling, he would make sense and be a great option to me for the Steelers. That's a more realistic move that can happen for Pittsburgh. I don't see the opportunity to draft Kenny Pickett. I brought it up earlier. They're just too far away. They're pick 20. I know he went to Pitt. I think he actually is going to be a solid pro. I think he has that mold. And maybe they should trade up for him, but I don't think it's going to happen with all their needs. And it's not like with the Devin Bush trade up. You need to give a lot more for a QB. Kenny Pickett could go inside the top 10. He could go probably as late as 10, certainly before 20. 15 is probably the absolute latest he would go based on where these teams are and what needs they may have. Certainly can go to Washington, for example. Carolina has been brought up. If you believe he's the best quarterback in this draft, unless something happens until the draft, why would you think he'll last to 20? It's not like no quarterback's going to be taken until 20. And I don't think they're going to trade up and give up the entire draft and make the whole draft about him. So, and also, he's a rookie. He's not going to plug and play right away and all of a sudden do it for you. Joe Burrow's an anomaly. Peyton Manning, many Hall of Famers took a while to get going. Marino's an anomaly. Do you think he's Marino right away? Is he a guarantee Hall of Famer? There are some draft analysts that say he's going to be a solid pro, but is he more? There's no guarantee to that. So, again, I don't think they're going to trade up for him. Maybe Sam Howell is more of a realistic example of someone who could be there when they are picking. But even if they take a rookie, if they draft a quarterback, probably should. But you don't want to force it if you don't have your guy there. If you don't love someone that's there, you maybe you do wait. Maybe you bridge it for a year with Mason Rudolph. You bring in Jameis or whoever else to start. Or even if you honestly bridge it with Mason and win 8 games, they probably win 7 or 8 with him. I mean, he's got better. He doesn't excite you, but he does take care of the football now. You're not going to win a championship next year anyway in all reality. So that absolutely is a need. And, yeah, O-line is absolutely another one. But if they don't fix the offensive line, which was so bad last year, Ben, an aging quarterback, Matt Canada, an offensive system that needs offensive line help and needs that protection, Canada didn't get it. So that's his excuse and why he's back. Ben didn't get it. And that's his excuse for last year and not being great his last 2 years. No, he wasn't good enough. But when you have an aging quarterback who can't move, you need offensive line help. He wasn't getting it. It made it harder on him. And yeah, you'll have a mobile guy, maybe a more mobile guy. If it's not Mason, Jameis will be more mobile. Pickett will be more mobile. You put Sam Howell be more mobile. Haskins is just completely in the doghouse with Tomlin. I mean, maybe he'll get a chance. He would be more mobile. I don't know why fans love him. I haven't seen greatness from him. I did see him ruin his situation with Washington where he didn't even study plays. I blame him for that more than the franchise for sure. That's why they threw away a first-round pick. And Tomlin didn't love him last year, basically benched him all through the preseason until the last one, and he was awful. And did have a great moment, did have one solid preseason game, but it wasn't enough, and his lasting image is being really, really bad in that last preseason game. So who knows? Maybe they'll have more mobility. That's what they do want. That doesn't mean they want Michael Vick. It just means they want a guy who can get out of the pocket, allow the receivers to break away, get separation, be open, help the offensive line that you still would figure would be a little bit better. Another year of experience. We've seen them have their moments. They got to be better. They got to draft offensive line help as well and make it better. It's a young group who knows the future of Zach Banner and company. So that's big. It's maybe even more important than QB. If the offensive line is not helping, it's just as bad again. Doesn't matter who's under center. It's not going to work out. Mike Oste here, Steelers chat, rounding things out. As we were talking, we've been mostly reacting to Brian Flores, the Steelers bring in. Former Miami Dolphins head coach, back-to-back winning season with the Dolphins, unceremoniously fired, surprisingly fired, sues the NFL for systemic racism, throws out some examples. It's going to be hard to prove. People could deny it. They have their excuses. It's not concrete proof like Donald Sterling when he was ousted in the NBA. But immaterial to that, he's not going to be a head coach right now, but he'll stay in the NFL, which is good for him. If he went away, that'd be bad. the Steelers kind of save the day, bring him in, add him to the staff with Tomlin and company, an African-American head coach. Now they add another African-American to the staff, and we will see how that works out. But I can't imagine it not being a positive with Brian Flores' history, his experience, his success, his body of work added to Tomlin. Tomlin's likely still calling plays, but you got input now from a sound mind. We also touched on some other Steelers mess that these chats always linger to here. Anything else in the chat? I want to remind you again to head over to SteelersNow.com. We have the story on Brian Flores. We have all the reaction to the Brian Flores story. We have everything else that we cover here across the network covering the Steelers, certainly throughout this offseason headed into the draft. SteelersNow.com at PGH Steelers Now on Twitter. Pittsburgh Sports Live here. Head over to the playlist. My show, Mic Drop. My show with Mike Fakovic and Mike Dopp. A lot of Steeler conversation there, as well as the rest of our teams covered throughout our Sports Now family of networks. The playlist, the shows are there. Subscribe. Bottom of this video. If you don't already subscribe, it's free to do so. It'll help us get notification to you whenever we do shows. Certainly impromptu shows like this. I do see some chat action still here, though, so I will go back to the chat. Brian Walter. Lovie Smith won't last two seasons in the Texas organization. Steelers could possibly go through a period of the Bradshaw until Roethlisberger 1980 era. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Honestly, look at the history of the league. It is very rare to go from one Hall of Fame or even franchise successful guy, quarterback-wise, to another right away, seamlessly. Doesn't happen. We're talking about Favre to Rodgers. You're talking about Montana to Young. We're talking about, I'm throwing this out there, but it's true. I'm not saying anyone's going to the Hall of Fame, but Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP, greatest postseason run ever for a quarterback, honestly. Whoever you think of him, whether he's elite or not during those years, to Lamar Jackson, MVP, that was seamless. Okay. Maybe even Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, I don't think he's going to get to Canton because he did retire too soon. That was his decision. Got beat up with their O-line as well, but certainly a prolific quarterback when he played, a highly touted quarterback coming out of college, had that body work that if he kept on going, you'd figure someday it would be more. And Peyton Manning, obviously one of the best ever. That was seamless. That went right to the other. Outside of that, that's basically it, guys. Yeah, it went from Bradshaw, and the Steelers made a Super Bowl appearance with Neil O'Donnell, so they did have some team success in the middle there, but it was from Bradshaw to Bobby Brister to, again, Neil O'Donnell, Cordell Stewart, Tommy Maddox gets hurt, then Ben off a draft. Had to have a guy fall to them. Other quarterbacks taken in that draft before. So there was some luck involved there. They had to kind of be bad prior to that. You got to have some things go on for you here. And the 20th pick is certainly a worse situation than where they were even to go get Ben. So it could be a while. It doesn't mean the team has to be god-awful. They do have other pieces on the roster. There can be a guy like Jameis Winston or whoever else they bring in, or even if they draft someone that they could maybe still win with. But in terms of getting a Hall of Famer, yeah, it's very rare. Doesn't happen. Almost next to impossible to do that seamlessly in the NFL. And there's about four or five examples throughout the whole history of the freaking league. So you're head on there. And then the Lovie Smith move, that was interesting to me at the time, and that does connect to the topic here with Brian Flores being added to the Steelers staff after being head coach with the Dolphins and then claiming systemic racism, is that Lovie Smith has a resume, so he's also a retread, so it's not a new guy, but he obviously is an African-American, despite the white beard, an African-American minority head coach, and one that has been a successful one, even though it's a while ago. So did lead the Bears to a Super Bowl appearance, did lose that to another African-American minority head coach in Tony Dungy. So Tony Dungy versus Lovie Smith was that historic Super Bowl with two African-American head coaches, guaranteed to have one of them win it. And that was before Mike Tomlin won, by the way, as well. But Lovie Smith did lead the Bears to a Super Bowl, and it's not meaning he's going to the Hall of Fame or Canton for being a head coach. We'll see what he does in the future here. But that's not easy to do. Didn't have a quarterback then that was mostly led by defense. He is a defensive guy. But now, and he coached in college for a while, but now you get back to the NFL. He wanted to get back in the NFL. So it's a retread hire, even though it's minority, and people don't love retread hires. You want to give a new face and voice in there, like, say, Brian Flores, which he had in Miami. Do you love a retread hire? Even though there was success there, it is a minority getting a job. You got to love that. You want to have more of that. You can't have one of that like it was Mike Tomlin for so long. but it's not a great situation. The Texans might have brought it in, brought him in there to say, okay, we win the PR battle, we'll do this. We know we're doing a bridge thing anyway. How long will he be there? Will he get more rope and more of a leash because he has success and did lead a team to an AFC, I'm sorry, to an NFC championship and to a Super Bowl appearance with the Bears, even though it was many moons ago? Does that give him more rope than Brian Flores, a head coach for the first time? It's likely going to be 2 years of 2, 3, 4 wins at the most and then being fired. The Deshaun Watson situation and what's going on there, it's sinking the franchise. They traded away to Hopkins a couple of years ago. All the weapons that were there are gone. There's so much chaos there from management to the field. J.J. Watt certainly gone. There's not much star power there. They're not going to win. There's nothing really to love about the job other than it's an NFL job. It's a rare one, and you got it. And as an African-American, we mentioned Byron Leftwich turning down a great situation because he didn't want his first opportunity to be so bad and then get fired, even though he loved Jags, obviously, from as a player. But Lovie Smith just wanted back in the door. He already has a resume. Does that give him more belief than a guy as a first-timer like Leftwich would have been, like Brian Flores with Miami? I don't know, but it's almost next to impossible to believe there'll be success with Houston. But if he would somehow get them 7-8 wins, that would be like Brian Flores, what he did with the Dolphins, where the roster wasn't great. So you got to look at it all relative. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. But if he can get them even flirting with postseason in Houston, that's then a credit to Lovie Smith. We'll see how long it does last, though, there. But it's not a great job. No, it's maybe the worst one that was available. But it did add to the list of minority head coaches in the league, which needed to be added to. Lovie Smith is a placeholder. I'm living in Houston. It's hard to get excited about this hire. Thomas, I don't disagree. I just talked about it. He is a placeholder. Yeah, probably. I mean, again, it's not a job that a Hall of Fame head coach or somebody who is great. You're not going to pluck somebody from somewhere else. You're not going to lure somebody like a Bill Cowher out of retirement to go coach you in Houston. You're not going to get Sean Payton, who still has contract years left with Dallas, but wants to take a break. You're not going to convince him somehow to want to come back and talk to the Cowboys, work out a trade, and have him come to you. No, of course, none of that's going to happen. You're probably not even going to get Mike McCarthy when he's fired by the Cowboys and have him stay in Texas and get that job. Yeah, he's not great, and people can say what they want about him, but he's a championship coach. He did win a Super Bowl with the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. I don't even think he'd want it, even if you guys don't want him. And I can understand why you don't want him. His clock management's horrendous. I think he's overrated. But I don't think he'd even want it because he knows how bad the situation is. It's the worst job that was open. I think it's even worse than Jacksonville because they have Trevor Lawrence there. And at least the franchise wants to win, even if they can't. I'm not sure what they want to do in Houston. So it was a minority head coach position. That's positive. It does kind of suck for Lovie Smith to be there. I don't think success is going to happen there. It probably is a placeholder to another guy, probably a white head coach in all reality. And it is a retread. But there's resume there for Lovie Smith. He did lead a team to a Super Bowl. And it's not by accident. You got to give him credit for doing so. And that was without a quarterback there. So an equal or worse QB situation than right now the Texans have with the mess of the Deshaun Watson. Who knows what he'll do? But it's interesting because that does happen. And then we get here, Brian Flores can't get back as a head coach. Maybe, who knows, part of the lawsuit or not. Who knows? But honestly, maybe he's better off not taking the Houston job. It would have just been a horrible one. He might be a blessing in disguise for him to be with the Steelers, be under a great staff. Who knows what the record will be, but maybe try again to be head coach next year. And Tomlin, I'm sure we'll give him singing praises, recommendation. So will the Rooney family. Now we got some chat action here. I was about to dip out of this. Man, Lovie has already got the white beard. What he done? His head gone to be full of white hair. When he's done, his head gone to be full of white hair. Yeah, he looks crazy. He does look crazy. He does definitely look crazy with the white beard. He looks like he's 85 years old, not whatever his age actually is, which I'd imagine is in the 50s. I'm going to ignore the spam action that we have here. Hi, dear. It's not my wife, so I do think that is spam. Yeah, unwarranted or spam. That's what it is. We have pretty high restrictions here on this chat, so I'm surprised some of that got in. Eric Bieniemy needs to leave the Chiefs, become an OC somewhere else to see if he has a product, see if he is a product of Reed and Mahomes. Well, that also connects to Brian Flores. I will touch on that before leaving here. Eric Bieniemy is that guy that while Brian Flores was a head coach for a couple of years to success and then got fired, he always gets brought up as that minority candidate, head coaching candidate, for now several years, that always gets interviews. And we're talking about whether or not they're sham interviews or not. That's what Brian Flores has accused of the Rooney Rule. I don't know if Bienemy accuses them of being sham interviews, but he doesn't get hired when he has the interviews. You almost got to think, and it might not be fair to him, when you interview for a job or a job in a field so often and you never get anything for years, does that start making you look bad? Does that start frowning negatively on you just in the industry? So, for example, he keeps on interviewing, he gets these interviews and it never gets hired. Does that make him look, but does that mean people think he's a product of Mahomes and Reed? Or is he dealing with sham interviews? Is he dealing with systemic racism? I don't know. But at this point, it doesn't look great that he keeps on getting the interviews and not a job. At least Brian Flores did eventually get hired despite accusing John Elway of the sham interview. He then got hired by the Dolphins despite only a couple years in. So Byron Leftwich turned down a job, basically pulled his name out of a job, but he was certainly a candidate, was very highly considered by the Jag before they bring in a Super Bowl championship head coach and Doug Peterson, who never really should have been available in the first place and fired by the Eagles. So again, it's worse for Bienemy, Eric Bienemy, who can't even get a job, can't even get accepted even when he interviews for all these. I don't think it's fair to say it's all Reed and Mahomes, though. When you're a successful assistant, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, you're on a staff of a great head coach and, generally speaking, a quarterback with success. Should Brian Flores never get hired by the Dolphins? Was he the product of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady with the Patriots? If you're accusing Bienemy of being a product of Mahomes and Reed, why would Flores then not be a product of Brady and Belichick? His 4 rings are Brady and Belichick. Would he have 4 assistant rings if Brady and Belichick weren't there? If he was an assistant coach for the Texans or the Jags for that decade, 2008, 2018? No. He has the 4 rings because he was under Brady and Belichick in a Patriot system, the Patriot way, and was with the greatest franchise in sports at the time. So that helps him. I still think he's good. He still did the work. He still deserved the opportunity. And he proved it as a head coach in Miami. That was just on him, and he had a great record back-to-back years. But to say Eric Bieniemy is a product of Reed and Mahomes, you'd have to be saying that then Flores is a product of Brady and Belichick, or this guy's a product of those two, or this guy's a product of those two. I mean, it's always kind of the case. You're a great assistant, Josh McDaniels, now head coach with the Raiders. We saw what he did with Denver. He's always been that sexy assistant candidate. You get another crack now. I think it's actually a great opportunity with Vegas, who were a playoff team this past year despite everything they went through. And obviously money is there. It's plentiful in Vegas and a stable franchise that wants to win despite, again, everything they dealt with Gruden and Ruggs, etc. Was he a product of Brady and Belichick? Got to bring that up. If you're going to bring up one, you got to bring up the other. So I don't think that's fair. But it looks bad when you don't get hired after so many years. That's true. We'll see. The Chiefs are going to be good again. He'll be a candidate again, I'd imagine. I imagine he'll get some interviews. I got to imagine he'll eventually get hired. Maybe not, though. Maybe he's just not impressing anybody in these interviews. I don't know. Anything else? Not seeing much else. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of this being spam action here. So that might be the end of this, I believe. I'm going to throw these in and report these as well, guys. I don't even need to be telling you this on air. We got some spam action here in the chat. So just getting rid of those, trying to get out the fluff. But I do appreciate everyone who chatted along with me here. We had a decent amount of chat action, and you can't expect that. You don't know what you're going to get in Steelers live chats. And this was completely impromptu without any promotion. So maybe the Brian Flores thing generated this. Who knows? Happy to have the conversation. Happy to have you guys here. We're certainly going to do more shows on this. I'm trying to get some shows together with some Dolphin writers, et cetera, some known people to talk really and dive in to Brian Flores and what he was, because we know the back-to-back winning seasons. We know being fired. We know the lawsuit. Maybe people who actually know that more intimately, who covered that team where he was, as I now cover the Steelers, where he is going to be. But Brian Flores, if you're just waking up weirdly in the middle of the day or living under a rock here, Brian Flores added to the Steelers staff, not going to be a head coach in the NFL, should be a head coach in the NFL, added to Tomlin's staff, the great experience, great pedigree, great defensive mind, will only help the staff, the Rooney family and Tomlin do it. They have the confidence to do it. They don't care about what's going on with the NFL lawsuit. They bring him in. Great news, great hire, great move by the Steelers, who do need all the help they can get. Still tons of question marks, though, for how this works out and the win total for this franchise next year and then moving forward. And imagine it's not going to be a long-term thing, where you wouldn't want it to be for Brian Flores with the Steelers. Eventually, this should build him up to getting another head coaching opportunity. So again, he did do a great job under the situation and circumstances with the Dolphins. So good discussion. I appreciate their nice conversation. Great points. Good discussion. I'm not going to deny. I do appreciate compliments when they're there. Brian Thomas, I appreciate that, as well as everybody else who chatted along here. We're not always going to agree, but I absolutely appreciate when we can have an intelligent conversation and you can provide compliments when you feel I deserve them. And I will, again, say them to you guys who I felt like also brought up great points. And we generated a solid conversation here for a live chat that was impromptu. So that'll do it for this, though. Again, head over to Steelers Now for all the coverage. Subscribe to Pittsburgh Sports Live, especially you guys who chat along. If you haven't done so already, you'll get notifications when shows like this happen. When everything we have throughout our Sports Now family of networks, from Pittsburgh Sports Now all throughout the network, post-game shows, including one will happen tonight. You'll get notifications. You can chat along. Others are live. Mike Dutt Morning Show usually is live. You can chat along there. I got Mic Drop. We've got other shows. We've got videos, player interviews, etc. A lot coming. We've got the draft. It's going to be a lot of video action, too. Pittsburgh Sports Live is where you need to be. Again, for all of us here throughout the Sports Now family of networks, of course, Pittsburgh Sports Live, thank you guys for the chat action. Great move and great hire by the Steelers. We'll see how this all plays out and what this means for the NFL lawsuit, too, as well as around the league. Off the news, Brian Flores has been added to the Steelers staff. Mike Tomlin bringing him aboard. I'm Mike Ostie.